Mondays with Maggie, brought to you by Hilton Head Island's Floors to Go. You can find them and their showroom at 123 Matthews Drive on the island. Stop by and see Steve or any of the qualified staff at Floors to Go. They will help you bring your flooring vision to life. Find out more at HiltonHeadIsland.floorstogo.com. And now, it's time for Mondays with Maggie. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Mondays with Maggie. My name is Jesse Blanco, host not only the podcast, but primary contributor to eatitandlikeit.com. Her name is Maggie Crenshaw, and we're coming off of very busy weekends for each of us. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jesse. Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. You have a good weekend?
I did. And I see on Facebook that you had a busy weekend as usual.
Yeah. Twice maybe a year, journeys to Tallahassee. My wife is a season ticket holder at Florida State, so she goes to most home games, and every once in a blue moon, I tag along, check in on Tallahassee, see what's up. Then, you know, they have a budding brewery scene there, which, you know, I've told you over the last few weeks that we enjoy doing. And, see what's new in food. Although on football weekends, you can't really, you know, the term foodie, I think, is overused. But if you like to go try new things to eat and whatever, football weekends are not the time to go find those things.
So true.
Because everything is overrun and exactly. service takes a hit and all that stuff. So you find yourself, you know, at the sports bar with games on, eating chicken wings and you know, that, yeah, that it makes for a nice weekend. So I did that, and it was funny. My real quick aside, my Hurricanes, which most people know I'm a huge Miami Hurricanes football fan, were playing at the same time as the Florida State football game, and I thought I would get a better phone signal in the stadium than I did. So my game was close into the second half, and the Florida State game was getting out of hand. So I'm like, okay, I'm out of here. And I was standing in the parking lot of Doak Campbell Stadium, listening to the end of my game on the radio on the roof of my car. And people are exiting the Florida State game, and I'm hearing people cheering or whatever, and I'm standing there, okay, keep saying to myself, keep it quiet. I'm listening to this game. My game ended up going to double overtime. This was midnight on Saturday night. It was quite an adventure. So good times. What have you been getting yourself into these days on your lovely island?
Well, okay. So, you know, about what, a week and a half ago, we had a shift in the weather. I woke up one day, it was, Alexa told me it was 49 degrees outside. I couldn't believe it. And, you know, I did what most Southerners do. I cooked a pot of chili.
All righty then. And then 2 days later, it was like, okay, it's a little warm for chili.
I know. But yeah, well, yeah, it's, you know, my reaction to cool weather is make a pot of chili or actually any soup. I actually really love to make homemade soup. It's, you know, one of those things that when you want good soup, there are so many restaurants, you know, offer the same kind of fare around here. There's always a she crab, there's always New England clam chowder and those kinds of things, but the diversity of soup, I find, I can get out of my own kitchen here at home a little bit better. Like, I really love broccoli cheddar. It's just something about cooler weather that brings on the desire for comfort food,
of course.
So I've just been whipping up a lot of my own food. You know, on an island such as Hilton Head, you've got a lot of seafood fare. We have a lot of very nice Italian restaurants, but there's just been something about the desire for comfort food with the cooler temperatures. So
how long does it take you to make a pot of broccoli cheddar on average? So I'm sure you've done it 100 million times.
100 million. You know, the key really to all cooking for me is a term called mise en place, which in cooking means everything in place. So if you pull out everything that you need for a recipe, pre-measure it out, have everything lined up in order, ready to go, it takes no time at all. But I typically will use frozen broccoli.
Gasp.
Because, sorry?
I said gasp.
Well, soups are usually things that I throw together based on what I've got left over,
you know.
In the refrigerator. So if I do have a fresh head of broccoli, I've purchased it for the purpose of making broccoli cheddar soup. It will take a little bit longer to cook that because you have to, the broccoli really, I mean, it's a huge fail if you don't make sure that the broccoli is very tender. But my secret to broccoli cheddar, okay, so back to the question, about really to put it all together and cook it and whatnot, 30 minutes or so, but my secret is I really like smoked paprika in my broccoli cheddar. It just gives it another dimension.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, smoked paprika.
Did not make this soup last week, right?
I like to use smoked cheeses, smoked Gouda, or
any
smoked cheese. Yeah, just gives it a different flavor.
So this is a smoky broccoli cheddar.
Yeah, again, you know, it's kind of like one of those things, just whatever leftover bits of cheese or, it requires some milk and some cream, which I don't normally, you know, those are things I don't normally have. So I would have to go to the store to get that. But otherwise, everything's just sort of leftover. I've always got onions and carrots. I've always got fresh vegetables.
That sounds good. I did, speaking of fresh vegetables, today, Monday, I'm thinking about the fresh celery that I bought and carrots last Thursday. Yes, Thursday, before leaving for Tallahassee, I made a big old pot of bolognese sauce.
And, yum.
It was, let me tell you, the recipe's not my own. I don't roll like that. But what I usually do when I'm making something, I made bolognese before, but it was a long time ago, and I used Mario Batali's recipe, a couple of cookbooks I have of his. This goes back, I haven't made bolognese in probably a decade. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to be running Friday morning. Let me make something that's a little more stick to my ribs so I'm not dying for fuel out there on the track. And so I made this big old pot of bolognese. And usually what I do when I'm making something I haven't made in a while is I'll sit down for about 15, 20 minutes and go through some recipes online and or in a book and see what I like. Ooh, I like how they did that. Ooh, I like that they added that. And I kind of mentally...
Pick and choose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. And so... oh, that sounds great. Oh, I never thought about adding that. And so I make stuff, but this time it's a recipe from, I believe it's Bon Appetit. And I'm going to post a link to that recipe here on the podcast. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Pods, it's at eatitandlikeit.com on the podcast listing. Let me tell you, I looked at it and I said, okay, I don't have a lot of time. I'm leaving town tomorrow. I'm not making a big old pot. It would call for 1 pound of beef, and I thought that was good, small enough for me and Sheila, and I was like, okay, I'm going to do this, and I followed it pretty exactly. I added a couple of things here and there, but I followed it pretty exactly, and it was just, wow, unbelievably. I can always tell, you know, my wife loves my cooking most of the time, but I can always tell when she likes it more, when she's like, when she tastes it and she's walking across the kitchen and she asks, what did you do to this? It's like, aha, I gotcha. So yeah, so she did. I'm like, yeah, no, it's pretty phenomenal. I can't wait to make it again. So incredibly easy. It took, you have to let it simmer for about an hour after you've put in all the stuff, but it's a little meticulous. But it took me, you know, you said your broccoli cheddar took you about 30 minutes. This was probably the same. Of, you know, chopping up the carrots, which I did in a food processor, carrots and celery. There was onion, bacon, called for pancetta, but I used bacon. And just, you know, cook it all down, and then you put it in there, tomato paste, and stir it. And then you add milk and chicken broth.
Mm-hmm.
And and then you just let it just slow cook down, which my stove is a little older, so the simmer is like a blowtorch, you know. So you always got to keep an eye on it.
Yeah,
it's like it's supposed to be totally simmer, slow boil. It said here, not, you know, not hot tub in Aspen. Come on now, slow down. So, so I did, and I kept watching, and I had to add chicken broth a couple of times just to keep it, you know. But it was it was so unbelievably good. So, find the recipe here on the website, eatinlikeit.com, and the podcast listing if you want to give it a shot. It was fantastic.
Well, you said you got that from Bon Appetit.
Yeah.
I still subscribe to magazines. I know I'm crazy, but I still get Bon Appetit magazine.
Really?
And yeah, so, you know, we've discussed this a lot, you and me. I don't know whether we've really talked about it on the podcast or not, but, you know, I was a young married woman living in Costa Rica for 5-6 years, and with really a lot of what's the word I'm looking for down in Costa Rica, with, you know, longing for, you know, food from home. And I had no idea how to cook. I, you know, maybe could scramble an egg and make a grilled cheese sandwich. So, you know, I dove into cooking magazines and cooking shows, which, believe it or not, in Costa Rica, I could, we did have cable from the United States. So I was able to watch the Food TV network, and, you know, so that's really how I learned to cook. So a lot of these recipes that I've been making for years and years and years, 30 years, are just in my head from, you know, all the different, I basically studied culinary arts for 5 years. I mean, it's what I did when I lived there.
Right.
I just taught myself how to cook. So anyway, I did at one point live in a little community where I made desserts and other specialty dishes for restaurants that were trying to accommodate the American palate. And of course, you know, the typical plato típico in Costa Rica is something like rice and beans and platanos and cabbage salad and, you know, things that aren't, you know, that are nutritionally and, you know, to the taste bud good for you, but you know, that's kind of all you get. So at any rate, I started making chicken pot pie down there, and I would bake big pans of it, and I sold it off to a restaurant, a little cafe, where they would cut it up in big squares and serve that, and it was the talk of the town. Everybody loved it. It was so great. I made my own pie pastry, and I made, you know, the filling. And I have tweaked that recipe over the years, and what I do to it that is, I think, what, when people say, oh my gosh, I have to have this recipe, I put sherry in it, and that's sherry. And the other thing is, I always make my own chicken stock. I mean, you have to have chicken for the chicken pot pie, right? So, you know, I'm gonna boil a chicken with carrots and celery and onion and a bunch of different seasoning, and I strain all that off, and I pull the meat from the bone, and then I've got my own homemade chicken sauce, or excuse me, chicken stock, that has, you know, that flavors the whole thing. And then with the addition of the sherry, it just pops. You know, it's not your frozen section Swanson's chicken pot pie.
I would think not. I bet chicken pot pie was incredibly popular in Costa Rica because it's just so different. You know, the flavor profiles down there are usually in the same neighborhood, like you said, with the beans and the rice and the bananas and all of those profiles that you get in Latin America. But but I bet something as savory as chicken pot pie was very, very popular.
Yeah, and you know, it has a creamy texture to it, really, without any cream. Once you make, you know, your roux with your flour and butter, and then you add your chicken stock in and you pull that up slowly, it's really, really creamy. I touch it at the very end with maybe a quarter of a cup of milk. Maybe if I have a little cream, I'll fatten that in at the end.
Fatten it up a little bit.
For the most part, it's just not necessary.
I do that.
So yeah, I made that this week. It was cold. It was freezing. It was like 70 degrees. It was freezing.
That's freezing.
So I had to make it. I also made beef bourguignon.
That's not easy to do well, at any rate.
Well, it's a little bit more involved, and I use Julia Child's recipe from her Mastering the Art of French Cooking. I have the original edition of that cookbook from 1955, and it's there is an electronic version. We can post that one in the link as well.
That was back in the day when she used to cook with wine and even put some in the food, right?
Yes, so this recipe definitely calls for wine.
Yeah,
really makes it, and you have to have a heavy duty Dutch oven because it simmers on the stove, but then it goes in the oven for about 3 hours.
That is so important. It is so important to have a heavy duty. People, you know, and everybody likes to cook, you know, well, but not everybody understands the how important it is to have good. Quality A, ingredients, but B, tools. A solid, you know, heavy, that closes well, you know, that sturdy Dutch oven makes such a difference with making something like beef bourguignon when you put it in the oven, to have that, you know, pseudo pressurized atmosphere in there for that stuff. People think that the $27, you know, pot that you bought at Walmart is going to give you the same results as that $110, you know, thing you found on sale at Le Creuset it's not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Le Creuset makes very nice products, and this is not to disparage them at all, but there are cheaper Dutch ovens out there.
Sure. I have one.
$279 on a Dutch oven, and they come in all different sizes and shapes. Yep. I found one at, blah, 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 Sam's several years back for $40, and it's no different from Le Creuset.
Yeah, I got one.
It's put out by Martha Stewart.
That's the one I have. I got it on sale at Macy's up a long time ago, and mine was $89, I want to say. It's big.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And it was, and you take care of it, and when you wash it, you dry it before you put it away, and you take care of these higher priced things, and they'll be good to you. That's what I use as well. My Martha Stewart pot is, you know, it's orange too. I love it. It's kind of my thing in the kitchen.
I love it. Yeah, and another thing too about items like that, if you want to stock up your kitchen with these sorts of things, and you're discouraged by the pricing of it, check out estate sales.
True.
You know, older women can't
Very true.
Lift them anymore. So, you very often find them at estate sales or in antique shops and whatnot. They're heavy duty. So, you know, once you get a little bit older and you can't lift that and you're not doing all the cooking that you did before, then you're going to try to sell it. And that's where you can pick up some great things. I picked up my stand mixer, it's so early in the morning to talk about these things and I can never remember. Stand mixer, my KitchenAid. My KitchenAid. Is classic. It's the classic professional series. It's got the attachment on it, you know, where you can add anything, and it's probably from the 70s or early 80s, and it's white, and I picked it up at an estate sale for $80. They go for hundreds of dollars.
Nice.
Brand new.
Nice.
And the attachments they're making now still fit you know, the machine, this machine that's, totally, you know, 40 whatever years old.
Totally. Totally. That sounded like a solid investment. Yeah, my KitchenAid mixer, one of those big ones, you know, the big heavy ones, my mom bought me as a gift because I was baking a lot in the 80s, and I still have it.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Aren't you lucky to have that?
Yep. It's getting on my nerves a little bit. We thought about upgrading, but it works. It works well. I throw my potatoes in there and whip them up into a frenzy, and my daughter loves them.
Oh, yeah. I use mine so much. It sits out on the counter, and it takes up space because, you know, they're big and heavy.
Yep.
But I don't care.
Yep.
I use it so much. Yep. It's easier to leave it out than it is to put it away and bring it out every time you need it.
What color is yours?
White.
Mine is blue.
What color is yours?
Blue.
Mine is blue. What kind of blue? Aqua?
Like
royal?
A midnight blue. Dark, dark.
Dark.
Dark. Ooh, like a midnight blue. Yeah. That's one of my favorite colors, actually. So tell me, what you got going on this week? Anything interesting?
Well, you know, I know that you are so busy right now. Wish you could come over and we could just go on a food truck forage.
Oh, wow.
There are so many food trucks in Hilton Head, and the weather is gorgeous. It's great to be outside right now. I think what I'm going to try and do this week is hit some food trucks.
That sounds like fun. Maybe I'll set aside some time after my marathon to do such a thing.
Okay.
Yeah, which is 13 days away from this recording, by the way.
Yeah, you've got.
Yeah.
And then you've got a full book signing schedule this week.
Yes,
coming up.
Yes. For those of you who are loyal listeners to this podcast, and we certainly appreciate you, I'm going to be at Burnt Church Distillery on Thursday the 26th, beginning at 5:00. The deal is, if you buy a book, Burnt Church is going to buy you a cocktail. So come on out and say hello, buy a copy of the book. I'll be there selling and signing, and a fine time will be had by all. Are you going to join us?
I'm going to try. That might be more difficult. I'm planning to come with you Saturday morning to Sunrise Cafe.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah. I'll be.
You'll be signing books there.
Yeah. Saturday morning, the 28th. I will be there beginning a little before 9. I'll be set up there with a table, and we'll be doing the whole same thing again. And the weather, I checked yesterday, is going to be a beautiful morning. So it will be a nice time Saturday morning. If you can't make it to Burnt Church, come out and say hello Saturday morning at Sunrise Cafe. So, yeah, and in between, I've got others here in Savannah, which, you know, you can find all of them on the website. But, yeah, it's book signing, marathon prepping, show producing season. I'll be glad.
October is just such a good month for so many things like that.
Yes. Yes. It's winter in the morning and summer in the afternoon sometimes.
Perfect. It's perfect weather.
Yeah. Well, you and I are going to be running around the island on Friday, the 27th, shooting some promotional stuff. And, we're going to be, it's funny, you said a little while ago, I you could come over, we're going to do food trucks. We can do food trucks Friday, but I'm going to be in Hilton Head for the weekend this coming weekend. So if you're a loyal listener to the podcast, please say hello. Maggie and I will be shooting some stuff on Friday around the island, and then I'll be there from Friday morning all the way through to Sunday morning. So if you see me walking by, please say hello.
I feel some good food coming on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, that's how we do. we need to find a place for lunch on Friday. I've given it some thought, but I haven't decided yet. We gotta figure that part out. But we will get to it, and we can discuss it next week. What do you say?
That sounds great. Just give me some direction, and I'll either make a reservation or make it happen. Either way.
Reservation for lunch on the island? Does that even exist?
Sometimes, yeah. Wow. Actually, yeah.
Fancy McFancherson. All right. Well, if you if you liked any of what we were talking about, the recipes are going to be posted at eatitandlikeit.com in the podcast section. Otherwise, if you got questions or input, something you'd like for us to talk about, you can reach us at tips, TIPS, at eatitandlikeit.com. questions about what we do and how we do it. And who knows, we might even answer your question here on the podcast. Sound good to you?
Grab bag.
Grab bag. Very good. Well, the weather's going to cooperate with us. It's time to get out of here. It should be a beautiful week on the island, and I'm looking forward to spending some time on your island next weekend and seeing you on Friday.
Can't wait. Yes. Sounds good.
Very good. All right. Well, my name is Jesse Blanco. She's Maggie Crenshaw. This is Mondays with Maggie. We're going to get out of here, and we will see you next Monday morning for all the island goodies that are fit to eat. Sound like a plan?
That's a plan, Stan.
All right. Have a good one. Thank you, Maggie.
Take care. You too.
See you. Bye. Bye. Mondays with Maggie, brought to you by Hilton Head Island's Florist to Go. You can find them and their showroom at 123 Matthews Drive on the island. Stop by and see Steve or any of the qualified staff at Florist to Go. They will help you bring your flooring vision to life. Find out more at HiltonHeadIsland.floristtogo.com.